This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. The House Judiciary Committee on July 11th passed a bill that will help more family farmers avoid liquidation or foreclosure, allowing them to stay in operation. The Family Farmer Relief Act of 2019 would raise the Chapter 12 operating debt cap from $4.1 million to $10 million. Our farmer members have experienced several consecutive years of weak commodity prices and the low profitability and poor farm income that follow. As a result, farmers and ranchers are watching their equity erode as their debt-to-asset ratios climb and debt financing reaches a 30-year high, according to AFBF President Zippy Duvall and NFU President Roger Johnson in a joint letter to Congress in May urging lawmakers to support the bill. The Federal Communications Commission is forming a new task force to advise the Commission on how to ensure farmers and ranchers have the connectivity they need to use and benefit from precision agriculture. The task force will work with the Agriculture Department to develop policy recommendations to promote the rapid, expanded deployment of broadband internet service on unserved agricultural land with a goal of achieving reliable capabilities on 95% of agricultural land in the U.S. by 2025. Many of the latest yield-maximizing and environmentally friendly farming and ranching techniques require broadband connections for data collection and analysis performed both on the farm and in a remote data centers. AFBF President Zippy Duvall wrote in a letter last year, urging lawmakers to support the Precision Agriculture Connectivity Act of 2018, which was ultimately incorporated into the 2018 Farm Bill to become law. Today's farmers and ranchers are using precision agricultural techniques to make decisions that impact the amount of fertilizer they need to purchase and apply to the field, the amount of water needed to sustain the crop, and the amount and type of herbicides or pesticides they need to apply, according to Duvall. Representative Trey Hollingsworth of Indiana recently introduced H.R. 3655, the Livestock Protection Act, which allows farmers to obtain permits that authorize the taking of black vultures. The legislation would allow the Secretary of the Interior, in conjunction with the Director of the Fish and Wildlife Service, to issue depredation permits to livestock farmers, authorizing the taking of black vultures, otherwise prohibited by law, to prevent damage to livestock during calving and lambing season. The bill also requires farmers to take black vultures under a state or region-wide depredation permit to report to the appropriate enforcement agencies. According to data from the Agriculture Department's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, the estimated total monetary loss from all cattle calf predation was $183.65 million in 2015, with 26,770 cattle and calf deaths attributed to vultures. AFBF supports H.R. 3655 and encourages state farm bureaus to ask their delegations to support and/or co-sponsor it. In the U.S., minimum milk price regulations enforced by federal milk marketing orders are based on a system of mandatory dairy price reporting, milk pricing formulas, price discrimination based on the end use of raw milk, and equity payments from a revenue sharing pool. This complex government framework of determining regulated milk prices that ultimately set the benchmark value of milk at the farm level begins with price discovery in Chicago. The Chicago Mercantile Exchange has electronic spot markets for butter, cheddar cheese, non-fat dry milk, and dry whey, the same products that are surveyed in USDA's mandatory dairy price report. AFBF applauds President Trump and his administration for recognizing the need to reform our nation's agricultural guest worker program, AFBF President Zippy Duvall said in a statement issued Tuesday. American farmers and ranchers have long faced challenges in meeting their labor needs and asked for modernization of the H-2A program. This is a lengthy rule, and we intend to evaluate it closely for its potential to assist growers with their labor needs. We are pleased by this development, however, and look forward to submitting comments to the official docket on this proposal. Having met recovery standards for well over a decade, removal of the gray wolf from the endangered and threatened species list is long overdue, AFBF recently told the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, emphasizing that all states in the continental U.S. with wolf populations have met delisting requirements. Farm Bureau told FWS its proposal to delist the gray wolf is clearly justified in light of the goals of the Endangered Species Act, the best available scientific and commercial data, the goals outlined in various recovery plans, and the aggressive leadership in affected area states. To highlight the great extent to which gray wolves across the United States have long since met recovery goals, the organization pointed out that in the Great Lakes region, wolf numbers today are more than double the number of wolves that are needed for recovery, while in parts of the Intermountain West, wolf populations are estimated to be more than five times over the recovery targets. The administration has moved its effort to repeal the 2015 Waters of the United States rule to the Office of Management and Budget, the last step before formal issuance, AFBF President Zippy Duvall said in a statement issued Tuesday. This is good news and welcome news. For too long, farmers and ranchers have had to live with the real regulatory confusion. Some hear they must follow the pre-2015 rule. Others have to follow the 2015 rule, even though courts have found it illegal. The confusion only heightens the risk farmers and ranchers face in these already uncertain times. Duvall applauded EPA and the Corps of Engineers for taking the next step to set aside the unlawful 2015 rule. The Agriculture Department's crop progress reports are based on visual observations from respondents across the country who frequently come in contact with farmers and ranchers growing a crop. These survey respondents visually and subjectively estimate the progress of the crop from planting through various stages of development and along the way evaluate the overall crop condition. These crop scouts have confirmed what many in the industry have anticipated. Corn and soybean crops appear to be in the worst condition since 2015. The most recent crop progress report, released July 15th, revealed 58% of the 2019 planted corn crop was in good to excellent condition as of week 28, up 1% from the prior week, but down 14% from the prior year and down 13% from the five-year average. For soybeans, the July 15 crop progress report revealed 54% of the crop was in good to excellent condition, up 1% from last week, but down 15% and 14% from the prior year and the five-year average, respectively. In 1900, roughly 60% of Americans lived in a rural setting. The results of the most recent U.S. Census, conducted in 2010, show that number has sunk to less than 20%. A recent study from the Carsey School of Public Policy at the University of New Hampshire found that of 746 counties across the nation experiencing depopulation, 91% of them are rural. These changing rural demographics underscore how important it is for rural residents, farmers, ranchers, and others to engage with their legislators and build relationships. For grassroots advocates in rural America, engaging with urban lawmakers who have little or no rural ties is challenging. There is no perfect solution, but some organizations have made great progress. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.